The Intentional Living Podcast is brought to you by iBelieve.com and is a part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com. Hi, friends, and welcome to this podcast of Intentional Living. Today, we're going to talk about relationships. I'm Christy Woods, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. So settle in, grab your Bible, put on your listening ears, and just you and I, let's dig through God's Word and let's talk about being intentional with our relationships. Are you ready? Let's go. I know that busy is something that's in all of our lives these days, right? We're all busy. In fact, it's a four-letter word that's not a bad word, so to speak, a curse word, but it can be a bad word in the sense that it can pull us from those intentional relationships that God has ordained in our lives. I think back to a time when we lived in Virginia Beach. You know, my husband was military. We've talked about that before on other podcasts. He was in the Navy, a career Navy sailor. We lived in Virginia Beach in 2003 at the time that Hurricane Isabel blew through the area. We lived in base housing, lost our electricity. I don't remember if it was for 4 or 5 days, but it was several. And it was, you know, still toasty that time of year when you live in that's mid-Atlantic, technically, that region is, but it's somewhat like the South where it's still muggy and humid and warm that time of year. So in order to survive without electricity, without our air conditioning that we were so conditioned to, we all went outside. And you know what? An amazing thing happened. We grew relationships with others that lived right near us that we hadn't known before because our lives were so busy. We went from work inside our doors and lived within our houses and inside our little fenced-in backyards and didn't interact very often or at all, even though we lived in this little dead-end triangular area of townhomes. So we were right on top of each other, basically, but we didn't know our neighbors. It was interesting because for those 4 or 5 days, you could hear children laughing and playing, and it kind of reminded me of the olden times, you know, those times when we were younger or maybe our parents were younger, where it was safe to be outside and the kids were always outside until the streetlights came on, that sort of thing. Well, it was a wonderful way to spend time without electricity, if you will, in the aftermath of a hurricane. But something very distinct happened the moment the electricity kicked back on. And I remember hearing those air conditioning units start up and kick on. In fact, I think you could hear a cheer in the neighborhood. Everyone was so excited that they had their electricity back. But within a matter of 5 minutes, maybe even less, everybody journeyed back into their houses. They ran, they skipped, they hopped, whatever. They went back in their houses and they shut the doors. And do you know what happened outside? Nothing. It was pure silence. There was no more children laughing. There were no more conversations on porches between the adults. We went back to our life as it was before. Now, there's some great parts about electricity and air conditioning, and I happen to really love it, so I'm not dogging it by any means. But it has a way of changing our relationships if we are not careful. That's all. So we're going to talk about intentional living with relationships today. The first one, and probably the most important relationship that we will ever have, and one that all the other relationships can build so beautifully from, is our relationship with God. How's yours? Do you have a relationship with God? Man, I hope so. You know, I didn't have one until I was in my early 20s. Like, I knew who Jesus was. And if you asked me if I was a Christian, I would have told you that I was. But I only knew him and knew about him in the head. I didn't know him in my heart. I hadn't asked Jesus to be my Savior. I didn't walk by his ways. Man, I did not love the Lord. But in my 20s, that all changed. And I haven't regretted it ever since. And I would encourage you that if you don't have a relationship with God like that, one that you want to spend every day with him, that you know that apart from him, that you can do nothing, then I would look towards Jesus and look for him, to him for salvation first, and start the relationship, intentional relationships there. Luke 10:27 outlines for us what the greatest commandment is. Do you know it? I hope so. And if not, this is your opportunity to learn it. But it's in the New Testament, and he says that it is kind of an umbrella over every commandment that's ever been given. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. There, my friend, is our relationship. Right there, right? None other. Awesome. Great place to build. That's the one paramount, where we, the foundation on which we build everything else. So how do we live intentionally with our God? Because it's a little weird, right? That we can't see him like we can our husband or our children or our mother, father, brother, sister, employer, fellow coworkers, right? But there are plenty of ways that we can spend our time and build intentionally the relationship with the Lord our God. One of those is through prayer. Are you a prayer warrior? If you're a Christian, then this is a part of the arsenal that God has given us. It's powerful, and we can become prayer warriors. We don't have to be ordained that. We don't have to be told that by other people. We simply are, because God has given us this ability to communicate with him one-on-one. That's all prayer is. There does not have to be a certain word we have to use. It doesn't have to sound eloquent. I will tell you, there have been many times where I have literally just cried out, "Help, God." And that's it. He hears any words that you offer to him. He hears them. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a fabulous scripture. It's really, really short too. It's just two words: pray continually. That's pretty simple. He's asking for us to offer ourselves for a continual conversation with him throughout the day. It can be eyes open. It can be eyes closed. It can be as you're driving, something comes to mind, or somebody. It can be in the middle of a frustrating situation, something you're nervous or worried about. Pray continually. On crosswalk.com, there's a wonderful article that our friend Betsy DeCruz has written. I would encourage you to go take a look at it. This will be in the show notes, but it's called How to Pray. Betsy outlines different ways to pray in this article, and one of those is one of my favorite ways that I personally like to pray, and that's to pray with scripture. Did you know that you can grab the Word of God and you can just dive right into it and pull out parts of it and pray those right back to God? I do this over my children all the time. In fact, on my blog, I have some downloads that subscribers can have, because I feel like this is really, really important. And it's a great way for us to be intentional with God, to just pray his word over ourselves, over others, to communicate and commune with God in the midst of that. So we have prayer, but we also have the Bible. Now, you guys know, if you've listened to any podcast or read much of what I've written, you know that I love the Bible. Oh my goodness, I love it. And I credit my pastor when I got saved. That pastor, his name was Dan, and he loved the Word. He instilled that in me, and I saw the importance of knowing God's Word and of spending time in it on a regular basis. I would encourage, if you're not in God's Word, to find a way to get in God's Word. This is our way to commune with him, our way of having an intentional relationship with God. He has intentionally and purposefully set these words for us to digest, to chew on, to spit back out in grand and great and godly ways. Ephesians 6:17 calls it the sword of the Spirit. Man, that's strong. Think about that. The sword. That's an offensive weapon and a defensive weapon. It cuts right through things and helps us to better understand, but it's also a way for us to be intentional in our relationship with our Holy Father. All right, so we have prayer and we have the Bible. We also have worship. How about spending time just worshiping God? Now, I'll be honest, it's really easy to do this at church when there's some phenomenal music and leaders in front of me that can help lead me there. But at my house, it's not as easy. But it's quite powerful when I give myself to that and I just spend time worshiping God. Maybe you do this all the time and you're on top of it. In fact, you could pray for me if that's the case. But I will encourage both of us to remain in worship. And it doesn't have to be through music. It just needs an attitude of worshiping our God if things are so good. You know, I had something kind of God-ordained, I believe, that happened to one of my kids this week. And it was really a time to worship God too, because I said, God, you have done this. Look at what the Lord has done. Oh my goodness. We all have those moments in our lives where we can worship him for just being him, for what he has already done, what he is doing. All right, so there's prayer, Bible, and worship. But what about thanksgiving and praise? You know, when Caleb, our youngest, was little, Tony was deployed. And at the time, Caleb was only, I think, 2, maybe 3. He would often pray and ask the Lord to protect his daddy. And it was a common prayer. He offered it almost every night at dinner. And then when Tony came back and we sat down at the table for dinner that first night, I fully expected to hear my little 2, almost 3-year-old go, "And I pray for daddy's safety," because, you know, to me, that's probably how a 2-year-old mind thought. But he didn't. At the dinner table that night, my little boy taught me a valuable lesson. He shifted that prayer from a plea and a request to thanksgiving. He immediately said, "Thank you, Lord, for bringing my daddy home safely." You guys, it stopped me right there. Something shifted, and a 2-year-old had just taught me a huge lesson in giving thanks. Maybe take those prayer requests that you have. If you write them down, go back and look at them. Those are prime opportunities to give thanks. You know, and I'm speaking to myself on this too. It's really easy to ask at times, but for some of us, following up with thanksgiving isn't always as easy. And maybe it's not specifically our prayer request. Maybe it's day to day that we see things happening. We see something with our spouse, our children, even our own lives. Maybe it's parents, a stranger. "Thank you, Lord, for this." Maybe we're driving down the road. We look over and we see the most beautiful blossoms. "Thank you, Lord." We look up and we see a sky that looks different today than what it did yesterday. Beautiful in both ways. "Thank you, Lord." Praise him as well. Praise him for who he is. Praise him, you know, pick out the names of God. Pick out the attributes of God out of the word and give him praise for those. He's worthy. You know, Psalm 100 verse 4 tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. It's important as we go into his presence to bring thanksgiving and praise with us. Okay, so prayer, Bible, worship, thanksgiving, and praise. And then the last one under being intentional with God is to listen. And with listening actually comes obedience. When we hear God, we hear the instructions, whether it's through his word or whether we just get that kind of knowing feeling inside. Do you ever get that? Like I get a shift, a prompting from the Holy Spirit that tells me this is the way I want you to go. Then there has to be obedience behind that. You know, those answers to prayer that we're asking for direction when he gives it, then there must be obedience behind that. That's the intentionality in our relationship with the Lord, is listening for his voice and his direction, for his insight, his wisdom, and then being intentional and obedient with it. That, my friend, is a recipe for a wonderful relationship with God. All of these things, they grow our faith, but they also grow our ability or our relationship with God, he longs for us to be right there, right tucked under his arm, so to speak, and close. He's our everything. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But when we remain in him, he remains in us, and that's where we bear spiritual fruit, that intentional relationship. That was from John 15, by the way, that last little bit about fruit. Remain in him. Okay, so we have our intentional relationship with God, but what about family? That's probably the next one, isn't it, on the list? The closest one, the one that's most impactful for us. For those of us who are married, we have our spouse. How are we being intentional with them? What about our words? What about our actions? I will tell you, with my husband, we established a few rules, if you will. I don't know if I really want to call them that, but we established a few things when we first got married. One, we would never use the D word, divorce. We never have. That's one that we have left out of our arguments. And even the best marriages have arguments. So don't think that there's a perfect one, but there are ones full of forgiveness and growth. And that's what we should all strive for. So think about what words you want to be a part of it and what ones you don't. It also could be on the flip side where you want to give intentional, encouraging words. Find something to praise them for each day, to thank them for, to encourage them with. Similarly, our children, they need our intentional focus as well. For those of us who have children, Deuteronomy 11:19 is one of my favorite verses. And there's another one in Deuteronomy 6 that mirrors this one. But it says to teach them and talk of them when you sit. This is my paraphrase. When you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That pretty much encompasses a whole day, doesn't it? Has all the parts right there. Teach them and talk to them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. Let them know about God and his goodness. If we don't teach them about God, who will? We might get lucky. We might be blessed. There might be somebody who comes along, and there's usually a group of people that have helped us form our children's lives. All of our children have several people who have spoken into their lives and encouraged them in their walk with Jesus. But as parents, we are the primary contact. Now, these children were created by God. They were created for his purposes, by him, for him. But what we feed into them and help plant those seeds of faith in their lives will come to bear fruit. So, mamas, you might be tired today, and you might look around and say, I see no fruit. I've done that. I have done that. I have said that in my mind. But I will encourage you to keep going, because there will be fruit. Just as I look out in my garden, I have radishes that bear quote-unquote fruit, that they bear. They're ready to be plucked up out of the ground in a month's time. But then you have melons that take anywhere from 90 to 120 days, a lot longer. You know, some kids are onions and some are melons, right? Stick with it, mamas. Be intentional about your relationship with your children. Talk, listen. You know, when my kids come home, they're all teenagers. I have one that's an adult now, but he's gone to college and still living with us at the time right now. They come home and they come in my office every day and they sit down. And they want to just talk. Those are some of my favorite times of the day. I stop what I'm doing and I turn and I look at them. And we take 5-10 minutes and we just chat. I am so thankful for those times. And I hope that you have some of those too. If not, pray for those or find ways to carve those out to build that relationship with your children. I ask, how's your day? And they are more than happy to give me input on what's happening. And, you know, sometimes because I like to kind of help fix things and I'm analytical, so I like to put the pieces together and solve stuff and come to a rationale in my head. I have to be careful with that, with those conversations the kids and I have. And you might too. And you might be better at this. I hope you are than I am, because it definitely is an area that I've had to grow in. And my daughter has helped me with this. She doesn't want solutions. She just wants a listening ear. And she's told me this before, and I'm grateful that she has, because it helps me then to better mother her. You know, have those kids in church or in youth groups. They'll buck back sometimes, but it's important. They need to be where they're going to hear about the Lord. Be intentional. All right, so we have our spouse, we have our children. Some of us have those, some of us don't, but here's one that all of us in some manner or form have. It's our parents. We might have lost them. We may not have known them. Or maybe we lived right underneath, you know, them for the first 18 years or 21 years or something like that. But Ephesians 6, 2 through 3 is very clear. It's in the Old Testament as well. So it's mirrored in both Old and New Testament. We're supposed to honor our parents. And I tell my kids this all the time. I say, it's not because I want you to honor me. Like, I'm not a dictator requiring certain things of you, and honor's not one of those. But it's the second part. So that all might go well with you. I tell my kids all the time, I want you to honor me because God has asked you to do this. This is His plan, and His plan is fabulous. It's like standing under His umbrella of protection. And when we honor our parents, we remain under that umbrella instead of being pelted by the elements. And it's so that all will go well with you. You know, when we see children who are disrespectful, and I'll be very honest, I think we probably all have been disrespectful. I don't think there's a perfect kid among us, not our kids, right? But we can sense that something isn't right there, right? Yeah, so that's why God's given us what He's given us in Ephesians. So, you know, grab that one. Study it, pray it, live it. Be intentional with it. There's others as well, all right? So we have our spouse, our children, our parents, but then there are other family members as well. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, can be a whole wide array of family members. And one thing I want to touch on here is because we live in such a mobile society, often we're no longer close in distance and proximity to grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, that sort of thing. So how do we stay in touch? How do we remain intentional in those lives? Well, one example that I love, and my mom actually started this one with my daughter, Becca, because we live about 800 miles away from my mom. And she created, I don't even know what they're called, but you know, like when you take one of those really big words, like thunderstorm, and then you find how many smaller words you can make out of those letters from thunderstorm. Well, that's what my mom started doing with my daughter. She started sending her a word, and each of them worked on it separately. And then on the phone, they came back together and discussed what they found and how many words they found and which ones. And then I think they might have even have mailed their answers back, you know, copy of their answers back and forth with each other. It was fun. It was a way for them to remain in each other's lives, to be intentional. There's nothing specifically godly about it. I mean, you could use, you know, books of the Bible or words from the Bible, definitely. But it was just an intentional relationship building across the miles. I loved it so much that I actually stole their idea. Is that okay to steal ideas? But I grabbed their idea and I've used it myself to create some free printables for people to use in ministry to widows and to grandparents and between grandkids and grandparents, that sort of thing. It was a great idea. Loved it. It was a wonderful way, but this, you know, there are letters, there are phone calls, there can be a yearly visit where just that child goes. We did that this summer with Becca. She went back for a week and spent a week by herself with my mom. Worked beautifully. Now she's a teenager, so we had to wait a while for her to get older and to get her to get comfortable enough to fly by herself, but it worked really, really well. Be intentional with your family members. All right. We started with God, right? Because He is our foundation. And then we discussed our family members. Now let's move on to church, shall we? As a military family, we moved often. With every move, we had to find a new church. My husband and I made it a goal to find one as quick as we could. Most of the time, we found one within two or three different visits. But I remember one time, it took us 8 months. And we were only going to be stationed there 3 years. So it's like, okay, we need to hurry and find this church. But we just couldn't find the right fit. But we kept trying. And we went 8 months. And then finally, during that 8 months, I went by myself to this one church. And I remember the pastor saying, "And if you're military, welcome. This is your home." And I promptly started crying because for us, church is home. Those members become our family. And especially when we lived far away from our family members, that was important. And even if you live close to your family members, the church family has a common goal of lifting high the name of Jesus, of seeing the lost being saved. That's family. We're all a part of a body, right? So be intentional about finding a church and then not only finding it and attending, but being involved. Are you volunteering at your church? Could be something really simple once a month. Could be something that you enjoy and do every week. See where there are areas where you can involve yourself. It might be even pulling weeds or cleaning bathrooms on weekdays. It might be printing off a bulletin or using your graphics skills or your technology skills, or maybe your worship and music skills. Could be the welcome table. There are a variety of ways to be involved in your church. Going to prayer services, that's another one. Praying for your pastors on a regular basis. Ephesians 4, and this is a bit of a transition into being intentional in the church with our pastors. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 lets us know, it puts right there in letters, that pastors are there to help mature the church. They're a part of what we call the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Pastors are there to help mature the body of Christ. They are necessary. Pray for them. Speak words of encouragement to them versus words of dissension or complaining and grumbling. Remember that October every year is Pastor Appreciation Month. Hey, that's a great time to just let them know what they mean to you. A card, a gift, words of encouragement, being intentional. Also within church living and being intentional there is discipleship and mentoring. Now, most of the time, churches don't technically have a program this way, but often God will drop a mentor into our lives just by being involved. Sometimes it's through small groups and attending those, other times just being involved in the church. When I was a young Christian, I had a spiritual mentor for about 5 years, and she was a gift, a true gift. I thank God for her. I know it was God ordained because at the end of the 5 years, I sensed him saying, okay, this discipleship relationship is now done. And she was sensing the same thing. We came together and I think she even mentioned it before I did. And I was like, oh my gosh, yep, that's what I'm hearing too. And it was good because that meant I had grown and it was time to move on. But it also was sad because I missed her. I really loved that woman. But that's okay. We're still in each other's lives. It's at a distance and we don't communicate near as much anymore, but she planted seeds because of those discipleship. Now, it might be, like I said, it might be through a Bible study or a small group. Maybe you're a part of another organization that your church is a part of. Allow God to use those opportunities. Pray, ask him for a mentor, somebody to disciple you, and then wait until he brings that person to you or you to them. It's a good, good thing. All right. Whew, this is a lot of intentionality, isn't it? We're going to have to breeze through the last ones because our time is coming to a close quickly. Friendships. Oh my goodness. These are so vital and important, especially in children's lives, but even as we grow older, right? Iron sharpens iron. That's Proverbs 27:17. When we relocate, are we making new friends? Are we being intentional about reaching out to others, or are we waiting for them to reach to us? When we first moved to Tulsa, people were busy. They were already within their friend groups and their family groups and stuff. And it was rather lonely. We felt left out, my husband and I, to be honest with you. And so we kind of licked our wounds for a while until we felt the Lord finally saying, not finally, but finally we were hearing, it's probably more what it was like. Be intentional. You reach out. Don't just sit here and wait for those to come to you. You go to them. So we did. We started, we searched for our church first and started getting involved that way with small groups and got to know some phenomenal women that way with some of the women's ministry stuff. And not only did we look for there, but, you know, we also did a neighborhood cookout. Now, the fun part is we actually just had it this last weekend from when I'm recording this. It's great. We end up having about 30 to 35 people each year. We've only done it 2 years, but both years, it's been wonderful. We've gotten to know our neighbors in ways that we never would have gotten to know them otherwise. We have games that ask questions so we get to know each other. We wear name tags for visuals like me so that we can remember who's who and put the names with them and everything. We have kids games so the little ones will enjoy it too. And of course, there's fabulous food. Can't go wrong with that, right? But be intentional. Reach out. Take Christmas gifts to the neighbors. If there's a new neighbor that arrives and moves in, take them a gift. Maybe make a little business card that has your contact information, your email, your phone, all that on there. Say, hey, here's who I am. Here's how to get in touch with me. You know, let's be neighbors. That sort of thing. All right, service. Are we intentional with our service? You know, when my kids were little, this was a hard one. Because when you have little kids, it's sometimes hard to figure out how to serve. And we had some that didn't go well. I'll be very honest. And that's a different time, different story, different time. But the Lord kept showing us places to be involved in. One of the best ones that we have all absolutely loved was Salvation Army. We used to go and feed, do a food service, a meal, serve a meal on Sunday mornings once a month. Every member of our family grew to love that time. Be intentional. If it's not that, maybe it's sending letters to people who are in prison. Perhaps it's having, you know, a marshmallow roast each year and bringing in the neighborhood kids. You know, you've got in your mind what you love to do. Put some service to that. I think it also does our kids good to see there's opportunities to reach out because it broadens their horizons too. My son's football team does that. They go and help paint mailboxes and put them in the ground and stuff in some neighborhoods that maybe the people don't have as many funds available to do that kind of stuff. They do that once a year at the beginning and before the season actually starts, they do it. And I love that the boys are learning to look beyond themselves. They also pick a name off the roster of the opposing team they're going to play. And they pray that. They pray for a specific player. And then they go find that player after the game and say, hey, man, I was praying for you. Are there specific ways that I can continue to pray for you? Now, they don't all do that. And that's okay. I think it has to be on their own. But that is a very intentional choice of serving others. Fabulous. Don't forget to love others like Jesus did. You can look through the Gospels and read how he did that. Widows and children, James 1:27, it's clear we should definitely reach to those. I've already talked about some ways that I do it. And you probably have some other fabulous ways that you do it. How about those who are in jail or sick? You know, taking food or writing a letter. Those are both fairly easy ways to serve others. And the last one, dun, 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 communication. Are we intentional with our communication? Now, for me, sometimes this one's a hiccup. I need to pray on this one, but there's great intention behind it. And I think that's probably the case with most everybody, that our intentions are good. Motives are meant to be for the positive, for the godly, but they just don't always come out that way. There are five areas of communication that we're going to just hit on real quickly today. Number one, forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. That's a form of communication. being humble or displaying humility. Colossians 3:12. Ooh, isn't that Colossians chapter rich? Mm-mm. We are called to clothe ourselves with humility. Don't go naked, folks. Don't wear the wrong outfit. Put on the humility that God has asked us to. Pray. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Again, there are lots of verses on prayer, but that one tells us to pray continually. That's intentional communication with God. Listening well. That can be with God and with other people. Look at James 1:17 for that one. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, right? And then there's gratitude. Colossians 4:2. Devote ourselves to this one. That's what the word tells us to do in that one. So with communication, we have forgiveness, humility, prayer, listening well, and gratitude. Those are wonderful ways to be intentional, to be able to communicate well with others. All right, friends, so we're wrapping it up. This episode of Intentional Living on Relationships, we've talked about being intentional with God, with family, church, friendships, service to others, as well as communication. That's rich. That's good. But now we need to put some action steps with this, right? One, how about setting a lunch date or call a loved one? Two, communicate forgiveness where it's needed. Or three, just tell somebody thank you for something. Number four, research and commit to some sort of service within your church or your community. There you go, guys. That's it. Now go have a fabulous week. Be intentional with those relationships and give God the glory. Have a beautiful day.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Intentional Living, a production of lifeaudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us. To learn more about Christy Woods or to check out any of the resources she mentioned in this episode, just head over to her website, christywoods.net, or check out our show notes. This episode was produced by me, Hilly Givens, and edited by Steven Sanders.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.